The Joy Unleashed show empowers and inspires women to reclaim their joy. We provide tools, resources, and connections to help you unlock your true potential through engaging conversations, expert insights, and transformative stories. We create a vibrant and inclusive community where women can break free from the limitations that hold them back. I'm Joyologist Colleen Greco, and it is my honor to be your host. Let's get right into the show. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you don't quite know your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you just can't find the path toward it. If you're uncomfortable in your own skin and want to finally master self-love, then we need to talk. I'm Colleen Greco, and I'm your Joyologist. I help women just like you to reclaim the joy they feel is missing in their life through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. Whether you have weight to lose or simply need to get your gut in check, I've got you. We'll work together to retire limiting beliefs. Those are the stories that are keeping you from your purpose. I need you to hear me. Those are the stories that we need to get rid of in order to get you on your path to your purpose. We will work together to get you that life you've always dreamed of. It would be my honor to connect with you. Reach out to me via Instagram at @ColleenGreco or email Colleen@ColleenGreco.com. Let's get you back to the show. Now, this episode is brought to you by Lignum Wealth Management. I've worked with Mark at Lignum for over 15 years. And before you get your mind racing, wealth was not, and maybe will ever be, a term in my vocabulary. It's more like survival is how I started. And how to really develop a plan, 1-0 at a time. How do I plan for the future now? So that was our mindset. And you know, I spend my days coaching clients on ways to improve their well-being, and finances are a very core part of your overall well-being. Ignoring it doesn't make the problem go away. In fact, it makes it worse. And you wake up years down the line wishing that you had taken that first step towards a plan. With Mark, he takes a very personalized approach to coaching, and it's all about your financial goals, not his. And he'll provide you sensible solutions and referrals to other experts that help you with your situation. Having a coach like Mark guide our family through the various stages of life allows me to focus on what I do best. So take the first step today towards a solid financial future and contact Mark at Lignum Wealth Management. His information's in the show notes. He's had my family's back for over 15 years. Welcome back to another episode of Joy Unleashed. I'm your humble host and resident joyologist, Colleen Greco. And today I am so excited to welcome Jill Schultz to the show.
Yay!
Hello, Jill.
Colleen. Like, you know, when you meet somebody and you just love them already, like, I know you and I had chatted a couple weeks ago or last week or whatever. And I'm like, I just love your energy. I just feel really connected to you. So I'm so glad that we met and that we're here and we get to share this space today. So
thank you. Yeah, same. And I don't know what this dance is, except for it seems to be the thing. It's like my Ellen intro, you know, like
it seems important to you. So we're just going to let it go.
Just let it happen, and whatever energy has to flow through me, let it.
I love it.
Well, I am so excited to have our conversation today, and I would just love for you to take a second to introduce yourself to the audience.
Yes. Hello, Jill Schultz. This backdrop is my dream home. It is $21.1 million in La Jolla, and I may have stalked the property a couple weeks ago. So this is I'm manifesting this property like crazy. But anyway, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm blessed to have all my businesses I'm in love with. But I just was feeling like, what's my purpose in life? And then God slapped me in the face and said, this is your purpose. And I said, oh, hell no. And then finally I was like, okay, this gets to be how I get to support the world. And so that's why we're here today to talk about that.
I am so excited to have this conversation, and not, you know, The way I say that, I'm like, I'm so
now
excited.
I get it. It's not an exciting topic.
Once but people hear about the topic, they'll be like, what? You're excited about that? But it's all about like healing from trauma is the crux of it. And so like, that's the part that excites me. But also as you're talking about, you know, tapping into your purpose and how you can't really ignore that for too long. Like the vibes and the messages get louder. So I'd love to dive into that as well. But why don't we just start on, you know, I'll give you like a little softball. That was me throwing it across the country.
I felt
you got it. how would you define joy?
Oh, wow.
What does it mean to you?
Oh, I love that question because so one of my favorite sayings in the whole wide world is Neil Donald Walsh, life happens outside your comfort zone. And you have that thing that's looming over you and something that's holding you back from your purpose, from your joy in life, from what you really truly are meant to be. And, you know, so I'm here because I got to look at what that was and I got to clear it up. And, you know, whether it's around my topic of sexual trauma or whether it's around just everybody has a secret, like you get to look at that because once you do, once you clean that up and it's behind you, all there is joy in front of you. Like every day I have this beautiful blank canvas that I get to co-create my life with God. And I say God, whether you use universe, source, whatever you say, I say God. But like every day I have this fun little dance that I do with God. And it's this joyful expression of what I get to create in my life now that I was brave and courageous and looked at my biggest fear and cleaned it up. So that's what joy means to me. And I just have full body chills about that.
I love that. And that's so true. Cause I feel like, you know, you get these in the beginning, the messages are subtle where it's like, you should do whatever, how about whatever, or people that are doing whatever get, you know, kind of put in front of you. And so you get to kind of see what they're doing and you have some connection, or I wish I could be like whoever. And then they get a little louder and then they get a little louder. And sometimes, like in my case, I basically got hit over the head with a frying pan until I paid attention and said, okay, I surrender. You know, yeah. I'll do this thing you're asking me to do. How did it come up for you? What was the, you know, maybe like the impending event or the series of events that caused you to really say, okay.
I had the frying pan moment too. Like, I mean, mine was 41 years of little nudges and, you know, the debilitating shame. And do we want to name the puppy? Do you want me to talk about what my secret is so people can relate to that maybe?
Yeah, of course.
And I always like to set the stage a little or to give a space for people because what we get to talk about, and you know, you and I are being really playful and fun today. And I love that. It took a long time to be able to have this conversation in a playful and fun way. A year ago, I would have been sobbing the whole time we were talking about this. But it just gets to show how by putting your shame into the light, shame can't live in the light. And the more that you talk about it, the less power it has over you. But so if what I say today, if it triggers you at all, please find somebody to talk to because it is a conversation people are not having. And I'm so grateful that you and I get to talk about it and, you know, open up the conversation because this is something that we get to normalize. We get to have people talking about it so that they can heal. But I was molested when I was little and I'm so grateful for the Me Too movement. And you'll have to excuse me. I'm recovering from a cold. I'm so grateful for those women who were so brave and courageous and stepped out and started having the conversations around being, you know, sexually molested or abused or whatever by somebody. And April is actually Sexual Awareness and Prevention Month. So we're recording this right now in April. So I'm glad that we're doing the conversation, but, you know, I was molested, but what I did that people aren't talking about is I was innocently and curiously experimenting with other children when I was just a child myself because of what somebody taught me to do. And the shame that I lived with for 41 years, thinking that I was the only little girl who ever did anything like that, was this dark cloud of shame that hovered over me for 41 years. And so I just want to be here now, vulnerably sharing my story, bearing my soul to save yours so that you can know that you're not alone. If this is your story, you're not the only person who ever did this, and you get to heal from it. You get to love yourself. You get to forgive yourself. And I forgot the original question that you asked me.
No worries. Well, it was around, you know, your calling and in knowing the signs and having the frying pan moment.
Oh, yeah.
I knew your backstory, but I don't think I connected that necessarily to the impending event that caused you to realize your purpose. So just to take a step back for people, because there is a lot of repression that goes on. Mm-hmm. You were aware of the activities that you were doing outwardly, correct? That isn't something that you just woke up and remembered one day. You did carry that.
So it's sexual trauma is such a weird thing. And you said it, it's this repression. Like, I feel like for me, my experience with it is like a wave of remembering and forgetting and remembering and forgetting. And I think that the reason that I was forgetting was because it was so traumatic. There was so much shame attached to it that I couldn't have it present all the time. Otherwise I wouldn't have been able to function.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember who hurt me when I was little, but I do remember acting out, you know, innocently and curiously with other children. And the point in my life where it finally was like, oh, this is bad, was I got caught in the closet by an adult. And that adult said to me, little kids who do that go to hell. And so that's that moment in my life where the shame, that toxic shame, was attached to my soul. And so over the next 41 years, you know, it would be a memory and then I'd forget it. It would be a memory and then I'd forget it. But it was always that constant. That's why I wrote a book and it's called Liberated, Releasing the Dark Cloud of Shame. And the reason I named it that was because I had that dark cloud with me all the time. I would go to sleep, it was there. I would wake up, it was there. It was just that constant dull ache of, I am a bad girl. I did bad things. I don't deserve love. I don't deserve success in businesses. So yes, I did remember acting out, but it would come and it would go and it would come and it would go.
Okay. That makes so much sense. 'Cause you know, I'm fortunate to have a lot of really amazing, powerful conversations. And I have learned through these conversations, there is a fair amount that people just kind of think they almost had it in like a dream state. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really real until something woke them up and they realized all of that was real. And yeah. So I just wanted to clarify just for my own, storytelling curiosity. Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
So over time, this dark cloud is with you and it's following you and, you know, you're remembering and forgetting and there were signals that were telling you, you know, A, it's okay to feel the feelings that you're feeling, but you don't have to have shame about it. So how did you start to, you know, make that shift? How did that sort of develop?
Well, that didn't happen until way later. I was in very, very, very deep pain for a very long time, even going through therapy. I've done transformational work. I did Landmark education. I did therapy. When I was 33, I started going to therapy and I did Landmark at the same time, which, by the way, sped up my healing by 1,000% doing those two programs together. The first time that I had any relief around my story was the second therapist that I started seeing. And I started seeing him when I was 41. And I started seeing him because at 41, I was still suffering from an eating disorder. I still was suffering from bulimia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you got to get this under control or you are going to die. So I went to therapy and I was going for that reason. And of course, it's a byproduct of sexual trauma, an eating disorder is. And so the therapist said to me one day, he said, you know what? How old were you? And I was about 12 years old when it stopped. When I got caught, that was the last time that I ever was experimented. And he said to me, how old were you? And I said, I was, you know, 12 years old. And he said, who do you know that's 12 years old? And I said, I immediately thought of my niece. And he said, do you think your niece knows how to reason like an adult? Do you think your niece acts like an adult? Do you think she thinks like an adult? And it was the first time that I had this glimmer of hope and release around me thinking of myself as a monster and a pedophile. Because as a little girl, I literally thought that I was a monster and a pedophile because of how I acted out. So that little kindness was the first time that I ever had any relief. And then, you know, I went to therapy and of course I was healed again. That's what we do. We go to therapy for 3 or 4 years and you're like, I'm fixed. Yay. And then of course it creeps up again. And then when I was 51, I'm 56 now, I started doing some other transformational work, a program called Heartcore Leadership. And that was when I finally did what I needed to do to release myself from that final pain, the self-loathing, I didn't love myself till I was 51 years old. I didn't fully forgive myself until last summer, which was 55. For what I had done. So, but you know what I'm so grateful for? I'm so grateful that now there are so many different, modalities that people can get in and get to the root of whatever it is that you're ashamed of, because everybody has a secret. It doesn't have to be related to this. Everybody has something that only you and God know, or everybody has something that you don't want anybody to know about you. But there's so many different ways now that you can get to that healing way quicker than sitting on a therapist couch for 20 years, you know? And I think therapy is still great. I still have a therapist, but you're able to do tapping, hypnotherapy, you know, all these other things that you can get to the root of the problem way more quickly these days. And I'm so grateful for that.
That's amazing. And that almost gives you like a new lease on life, right? You have a different, you know, respect for yourself. I'm sure your relationships have changed. I'm sure prior, you know, maybe your ability to, you know, craft quality friendships or relationships were, you know, different than maybe they are now. So tell us a little bit about that. How have your relationships changed?
Yeah, I've never struggled with friendships. I am blessed beyond. I have so many people that I love and adore and who love and adore me. So I've never been, that has never affected me. Relationships with men, now that's a different story. Mm-hmm. And that's why I started going to therapy the first time, because I realized I wasn't connecting with men. At 33 years old, a man would walk in a bar or a restaurant or whatever and look at me and I'd immediately look down. And I finally realized that I didn't want someone to truly see me, because I thought, if a man knows what I did, how can he love me? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, how can he not love me knowing what I've gone through and knowing all the work that I've done and knowing what I'm doing with my life now? So right now I'm literally manifesting this perfect person that I know, that perfect person for me. He doesn't have to be perfect, but,
Does he live in that $22 million house?
Know what? That thought has crossed my mind. Don't think that thought has not crossed my mind. But you know, now once you do the work and you get to that place where you know what you deserve in life and what, you know, I know that I get to have this magnificent person. And so I used to do this meditation, and I live in San Diego. I live near downtown. And they would say, okay, now I want you to take a string and have it go to where your person is. And my string would go and go, and it'd be like to La Jolla from where I am. And that's a 20-minute drive. Like the string would just keep going and going and going. And now when I visualize that, my string is like this big. So I know that that person is so close to me. It's really exciting.
Oh, I love that. One of the things that you said earlier was that life exists outside of your comfort zone, or life happens outside
it
your
happens,
comfort zone.
Yeah.
Tell us what that means to you, like on a day-to-day basis, as you're like realizing what the comfort zone is and the challenges that you have to overcome in order to, you know, up-level yourself as a human.
I mean, I'll give you two different examples. One's going to be a basic example, and then one's going to be a grand example. Have you ever heard the practice before you go to bed at night to write down your 5 most important things to do for the next day, so that when you sit down for work, you have your 5 most important things to do? And on that list, you always do the hardest one first, because the rest of your day will just flow. You've heard that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That's a small example of this. So the grand example is, what is that one dark cloud that is following you around? That's what you get to look at. That's what you get to take by the horns and say, you don't own me anymore. And you get to do the work to release that. So that's the life happens outside your comfort zone. My comfort zone for 41 years was push it down, push it down, push it down, until finally it was like, no, I'm tired of being tired. I get to really look at what this is that's holding me back. I get to address it. I get to talk about it. I get to get it out there. And, you know, I think for me, I was so scared when I started sharing my story of what the other person was going to think of me, because my impression of myself was that monster, that pedophile, you know, all those things about how I felt about myself, I thought other people were going to think about me. So when I went into therapy the first time, when I said the words out loud and I was met with so much love and kindness and compassion and understanding, it was almost like, oh my God, if I had known this all along, I would have talked about this years and years ago. My life would be completely different. So you get to get uncomfortable. You get to look at whatever it is in your life. And you know what it is. I'm talking to you people. You know what it is, because you have this nagging little all the time. And you're like, I can't face it. I can't face it. You get to fucking face it. Oh, sorry. I swear.
That's okay. I'll make a note of the time.
Sorry. You get to face, I promised you I wouldn't swear to, I'm so sorry. You get to face it, because once you clear that up, that's when the joy happens. Like I said earlier, that's when you have this magical place of, I get to create my life however I want it now, you know, because you know that you deserve to have that. So that's really, life happens outside your comfort zone is, it's really uncomfortable when you're facing those things. But once you look at them and you face them head on and they're gone, it's like, I look for my cloud. Like, I literally look for my cloud and it's not there anymore.
Yeah. And so in my world, you know, I do mindset coaching as part of my practice, and we call those limiting beliefs. And they are those things, those stories that just get served up to you on a silver platter. Like, you're not good enough. See, I told you so. Here's the proof. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there are some things that I think I'm always curious. Do I want to like poke at that? They're not necessarily limiting beliefs. They are proven to be true. Like, I don't know, I'd probably not make a good astronaut. Right. So there's a dramatic example, but I'm like curious.
Do you want to be an astronaut though?
Not really. Oh, okay. No.
Then that doesn't really apply.
Right. So when you're talking about like your list of five, it's that thing that you're procrastinating against because you don't like doing it or don't think you're very good at, but then you get that sense of accomplishment when it's off your list, and then you get to spend the rest of your day kind of focused on the things that maybe light you up. Yeah. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah. Yeah. Or for me, I'm a really good salesperson, but I hate sitting down and doing sales calls. Like, mm-hmm. I hate it, but I know once I get in the zone, and I really have to compartmentalize and get myself in the zone, once I have that one win, once I have that one person go, well, yeah, I'd love that. Then it's like, oh my God, I could do this all day, you know, but it's really about sitting down and doing that one uncomfortable thing that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And once you can take it off your list, it's like, ooh, the rest of the day is easy breezy.
I love it. So one of the things I want to make sure before I forget, because I am so bad. This is not a limiting belief. This is fact. I am bad at putting people's Instagrams up before, like 2 seconds before the end. So before I forget, I want to make sure people know where to find you. They can follow you on Instagram at Jill, the letter E, and then Schultz. And then there's that underscore at the end. And that'll all be in the show notes too, but I want to make sure for people viewing that they get to see that. You also have, you've created, is this, I guess, like an ebook, 7 critical steps to heal from secrets.
It's just a little one sheet. Yeah. This is what the steps that I took in order for me to get past or to start the healing process for myself around my secret. So that's just something people can access on my website too. Yeah.
Which I think is great. And we'll keep, excuse me, you're like contagious. I'm losing my voice now. You we'll have that in the show notes too, so people can access it, which I think is great. Cause I think people do sometimes need a little bit of a recipe to kind of know, mm-hmm. like, what are the next steps that I take to, you know, move on from this, because it doesn't have to define you. And one of the things you were talking about earlier is when you started to share your story, you know, how, I don't know if nervous was the word that you used, but
terrified. No,
terrified's a good one too.
Terrified.
You were terrified, you know, about being judged and kind of the reactions that people would have. And I would say to anybody listening, anybody that sits in judgment is not your people. They have something to hide too. And they are uncomfortable with the fact that you are sharing. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them. They wish that they had the, you know, I don't know if it's the bravery to be able to speak up. And they are watching. They are watching you. They are, you know, learning from you. And the best we can do is encourage them to dig into their past and do the same. I talk a lot about my son's suicide attempt for, you know, the same reason. It is a taboo topic, much like yours, right? But we have to acknowledge that this stuff happens and help people get the support and the love that they need so that they can heal. And this doesn't have to be the thing that defines them, that label that they carry around. And I'm so proud. What are we, 6.5 years later? I don't look at him that way anymore.
Yeah.
He isn't like the son that attempted suicide. I mean, sure, I still tell the story because I need people to understand like where all this came from, but I don't see him that way at all. And to me, that is the greatest victory. So I assume the same is happening for you, that you don't see yourself the same way that you always did. No. And if you're not quite there yet, I know you'll get there, because that is the power of being able to, you know, verbalize what happened and make it okay.
Yeah. I think the problem, and no, God, it just feels so good to love myself, you know, and to forgive myself. I was a little girl, you know, I carried this debilitating shame thinking that I had acted out, like I was an adult acting out, you know what I mean? But I was a little girl myself, and little kids do what people teach them to do. But I think the problem with this kind of shame and the level of the shame, you know, there's shame and then there's toxic shame, and toxic shame just literally clings to your soul. And I think for people who are dealing with toxic shame, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you're so deep in it that you can't see that by sharing it, it's going to release you. So I think that's what the big problem is. But, you know, so that's why I say you get to be brave. You get to be courageous. You get to talk about it. You get to find somebody you trust. And on my website's just jilleschultz.com. It's just how my name looks on the screen. I have a resource section, and there's different websites on there for sexual trauma that you can call anonymously and just talk to somebody, you know? Yeah. So please, if this is you, just take that first step and find somebody that you can get it out of yourself for the first time, because every time you share it, it just gets easier and easier and easier.
And I'll piggyback on that and say, even if you don't know for sure it's you because it's so deeply repressed, if there's that little tiny like inkling or a voice, there's something there to, like, as my coach will say, there's a thread to pull on.
Yeah.
Just make that phone call. Like Jill said, you can make it anonymously. Just start digging into it. There's something that you're supposed to pay attention to. Yeah. And it's worth it to pull on that thread, figure out what it is so that you can heal from it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's why we do this, right? Like, that's why we are bearing our souls on these types of things. This is uncomfortable. Like, did you think, I never thought that God would have wanted me to be the poster child for little kids who act out with other kids. Like, that is not a dream that I put on my vision board, right? But we're not doing this for us. And you with your son, like, that story is just heartbreaking, you know? And the suicide statistics are just out of, you know, it's unreal. So please, please find somebody to talk to. There is hope. We are doing this to normalize the conversation so that you don't feel like you're the only person ever dealing with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this has been a really powerful conversation, and I'm so grateful that, you know, you were willing to come on and have it. And I know we started off a little light. I guess I thought I was going to ease into it a little easier than I did. Sorry for that deep dive into the deep end, but I think it's a really important conversation to have. And, I can't think of anybody better to have it with. So thank you so much. Any parting words before you want to,
I'm so blessed to have met you. Like I said earlier, you meet somebody and there's that connection, and I thank you for doing what you're doing, cause you're opening up that space for people to be safe to talk about, what's hurting them, and we just get to do this together. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's an honor. Well, that was today's episode of Joy Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. Well, that was another great episode of Joy Unleashed. And we had Jill Schultz as our guest today. And, the subject matter was very heavy, but hopefully what you took from the whole segment was that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that the tunnel extends far beyond the trauma, and her identity extends far beyond her trauma. And she was able to work through that and develop self-love. And that is so much about what I work on with clients. We work through these things so that they can develop a firm foundation of self-love and get to living the life that they are called to live. So the tip of the day really is to tap into those feelings as you feel them come up, understand what they're about, and let them go so that you can go on to live your best life.
Thank you for tuning in to Joy Unleashed. As always, it's my honor to be your host and joyologist, Colleen Greco. Follow me at The Colleen Greco on Instagram for daily motivation and inspiration. And don't forget to leave my show a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, sisters.